in colors with the crowd. Many are like bugs who seek darkness because their deeds are evil. Some are like buzzards. You don't see them in church unless a member is dead. Still others like snails, no backbone. Some are like pigs, greedy to get all for self. Others are like roosters, always crowing about something. Some are like goats, always butting the other fellow. Some are like porcupines, always needling somebody else. Some are like frogs, leaping from church to church. Some are like gnats, nothing but pests. Some are like geese, fair-weather churchgoers. Some are like bumblebees, they'll sting you every time. Some board members are like lions, always roaring about something. Some are like donkeys, just plain stubborn. Many are like mules. I like the extent of their joy is shown by their long faces. There are those like owls, always hooting about some folks when they're not around. Some are like cats and dogs, just can't get along together. There are those like hawks, preying on others. Some folks are like elephants, a long memory that always remembers the wrong someone did years ago. Some are like leopards with spots in their lives which hinder spiritual growth. Some are like monkeys. Watch how they act if you don't believe it. Some are like beavers, eager. Some are like ants, real workers. Some are like canaries singing along life's way. Some are like eagles soaring above the clouds of circumstances and living in the heavenlies. Then there are those who are just like sheep. They follow their shepherd wherever he leads. I thought you might find that interesting tonight. A church zoo. And I think we have all the bottom two or three here tonight. Amen. I don't see any bees buzzing around here or any mules with long faces. Let's look at Matthew 25 tonight. All right, just for a few moments that we have together tonight. Let me ask you a question. What are you afraid of? Some of you afraid of the dark. Some of you afraid of dogs, you know, heights. Claustrophobic, different things. Some of you are afraid of your some of you fellows are afraid of your wife. I don't know about that. And some of you children may be afraid of your dad, and you're afraid of something. Maybe you're afraid of me, and I might be afraid of you. I don't know. But what are you afraid of? Who are you afraid of? I want you to think of that here. We find in the story here in Matthew 25, Jesus comes and he gives the story about these eight talents that this man gives away. And he gives five of them to one guy, two of them to another guy, and one to one man. So you have three servants here with one master, one lord, and you have eight talents that are given away, five to one, two to another, and one to one. And that's the story, the account that we'll see here. Notice in verse 14 of Matthew 25, he said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." So he no doubt trusts these men in some measure that he would give these men his goods. And no doubt if he would travel in our day, now he probably wouldn't have to do this. But in the days in which the Lord was walking on the earth, in those days, travel was an extensive and probably very expensive thing to do. And if you went traveling the world over, went to another country or whatever it may be, maybe like this guy did, the Lord of these men, no doubt he is going to be gone for a long time, a period of time. And so he said, "Listen, I want you to take my goods here, my money, and I want you to do something with it." And so he gives them unto them his goods. Verse 15, "Unto one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received five talents went and traded with the same, made them other five talents. Likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that received one went, digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money." Understand this, it's not his own money, it's his Lord's money. "And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that hath received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, thy Lord.' He also that had received two talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them.' And his Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' Then he which hath received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was, say it with me, afraid. What are you afraid of tonight? I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. We know the word slothful means lazy. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into the exchangers. In other words, do something. You should have done something with it. If you wasn't going to use it, give it to the banker. Give it to an investor. He said, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. The word usury there talks about interest. He said, at least I would have some interest off that one talent. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto him that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this outer darkness was not to suffer, but to see what he had done and what was going on here. Now let's go back there to verse 25. Now, the thought here, I was afraid. I was afraid. And here we have a master here that has these three servants. And we understand and we may look at this story here. And if we analyze and really look at it and try to break some things down and try to figure this story out, we may wonder why did one man get 5 and another man get 2 and only and one man just get only 1? Does not that seem that the Lord or the Master was playing favorites, you know? Maybe had a pet servant and said, I'm going to give you 5 because I like you better than these other 2 guys. I'm going to give you 2. I like you not as much as I like him, but I like you more than I like this guy here. And I'm just going to give this guy 1 talent. Why was it broken up like this? Well, the answer is found in verse 15. Look there. And one he gave 5, another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. He knew exactly these men. No doubt he knew their character. He knew how they conducted themselves. And no doubt he could trust one with more and trust one with just 1. He knew that he could trust the guy with 5, and trust the guy with 2, and trust the guy with just 1. So he gave every man according to his several abilities. He didn't give them anything that they could not handle. He didn't give them anything that was too overwhelming with them. You know, he knew this guy could handle 5 talents. He knew this one guy could handle 2 talents. He knew that guy could only handle 1 talent. And so he gave these men exactly what they could handle. Let me ask you tonight, what can God trust us with tonight? What can God give us tonight that God can put in our care, that God can put in our trust and say, all right, Terry, I trust you with this now tonight. Now, don't you set on it. Don't you go bear it. Now, you do something with it. What can God trust me with tonight? What can God trust you with tonight? And here we have the servant that had 1. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. Someone said that 1 talent here could average about $500,000 in our today's economy. And so these men were not given pennies and little widow mites. These men were given, as he said there in verse 14, delivered unto them his goods. He was going to be gone for a long time. And he said, I'm going to plan on coming back again. But while I'm gone, I'm going to give you my goods, maybe everything that he had. I'm going to put in your care. And so he knew who he could trust with different things because according to their several ability. And straightway, the word straightway means immediately, he took his journey. And so here, the verse 16 says, the guy that had 5, he went out and traded, got 5 more. So now he's got 10. The guy that had 2, he went out and got 2 more. Now he's got 4. And the guy that had 1 said, oh my, I'm afraid of this man. He's a hard man. He reaps where he didn't sow, and he does all these different things. And so he digs a hole in the ground, puts that 1 talent there, and buries it there, and sets on it for however long it was. Matter of fact, they all had the same length of time to do something with their talent. Look at it there in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. All had the same amount of time. I mean, the guy with five, the guy with two, even the guy with one had exactly the same amount of time. Because the guy leaves in verse 15, immediately he took his journey, and then he comes back in verse 19, the long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so they all had the same starting time, had the same finishing time. And so we understand here that no doubt the Lord knew these men, the Master knew what these men could handle. Now, what was this man afraid of? Was he afraid of failure? Was he afraid of, we have some indications there that he was afraid of his Master. He no doubt misunderstood his Master. No doubt he was accusing his Master in verse 24. It sounds like an accusation that he's bringing. Lord, I knew thee. Maybe he didn't know his Master as good as he thought he did. And so, but maybe that's why he only got one talent, was because he didn't know the Master. Maybe the Master didn't know him as well either. Maybe he didn't hang around the Master. Maybe he didn't want to see the Master. Maybe he stayed away from where the Master was. But here we find that he comes and he finds himself with one talent, the same talent that he gave him. Listen, the servant was faithless, no doubt, and because of his inability of being faithful, he was fruitless. Why was he fruitless? I believe the reason this guy buried it is because he just didn't have a heart for it. He didn't put his heart into it. You know, a lot of times we will be more diligent and more discerning and more diligent in working with something that we've got our heart into. Amen or not? I mean, you put your heart into something, you're gonna get out and you're gonna work for it. You're gonna roll your sleeves up. It doesn't matter what's being asked of you to do, you're just going to get it done because your heart's into it. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so here we have these guys have a treasure that's been given to them by their Master. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This guy not just didn't bury his talent, he buried his heart. And he said, listen, I'm afraid of this man. He's a hard man. And listen, it all boils down. It wasn't that the man, the Master, was the problem. It was that this servant has a problem in his heart. And he not only buried his talent, but he buried his heart as well. Listen, there's times that if we're not careful, if our heart's not in something, then those times we need to step aside. You know, if our heart's not in serving God in the local church in a position, we need to step aside. We need people that's going to put their heart in every Sunday school lesson, amen or not. We need people that's going to put their heart in every time they play that instrument or any other instrument or even sing in this choir or lead this choir or even preach the sermon. Listen, we've got to be people that usher with a whole heart. We've got to have ladies that nursery and tend back there and serve the Lord in the nursery with a whole heart. Listen, we've got to put our whole heart in this thing. We can't look at it and say, well, God, I'm afraid and I'm faithless. And listen, if we're faithless, then we'll be fruitless. And therefore, because our heart's not into it, we've got to put our heart in the thing. What God's called us to do, amen or not. And so, listen, what are we afraid of? This man here, he comes down and he confesses to his Master, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent. Not my talent, but thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. All he's got to show for every opportunity that this guy had since his Master left is the same old talent that the Master gave him however long ago it's been. And so think of these things here. Now let's look at this here, making an application of where we are. Three things quickly, right quick. Number one, Jesus has given us a precious treasure. As this Master here gave these men, he gave them of his goods. Listen, when Jesus left and ascended back to the Father after he resurrected from the dead, 3 days after being nailed to a cruel cross to bleed and die for the sin of the world, listen, Jesus left us an unfinished task with unlimited power. And we understand here that Jesus has left us the goods. A precious treasure. What is those precious treasures? Number one, I believe Jesus has left us the gospel. The gospel to deliver. The gospel to deliver. He said in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, he said that God has, we've been allowed of God to be put in trust of the gospel. the gospel. Jesus gave us the gospel as he ascended up. Listen, this treasured possession, the gospel, is a precious seed, according to Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bring the sheaves with him. And so the gospel is a precious seed. Number two, the gospel is power to save. Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." It's the power to save. Number three, it's a promise that seals. He said, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's a promise that seals the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at this talent these men gave, it no doubt was a monetary means, but the very precious thing that God has given the church, the believer, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus has left us, has given us a precious treasure. Number two, Jesus expects a return on his investments. He expects a return. Look at verse 20 here. The Lord came back home in verse 19, and the one that had received five said, came and brought after other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest. Notice where he got his talent from. Notice where he got the goods from. He said, Lord, you've given them to me. He's talking to his master here. Unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. There's an increase here. And listen, God has blessed us. God has given us the gospel, no doubt. But God's also given us gifts that differ from one another. Not only the gospel to deliver, but the gifts that differ. And there are many gifts that are recorded there in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 that we won't take time to look at tonight and analyze and talk about those tonight. But secondly, God expects a return on his investments. Look at verse 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Where did he get his talents from? He got them from his master. Where do we get our gifts? Where do we get the gospel? We get it from the Lord. God has put something in our hands. And God says, I want you to take what I've given you, and I want you to invest it. I want you to work with it. I want you to, and God expects a return on his investments. Listen, God is the one who opens the doors for ministry. God is the one, friend, that enables us by counting us faithful, putting us in the ministry. God is the one that puts us in a Sunday school class with an open Bible. God is the one that puts us on a platform behind the pulpit. God is the one that puts us on a van route. God is the one that puts us in the nursery. God's the one that puts us in the choir. God's the one that puts us behind the piano. God is the one, friend, that puts a gift, a talent. God puts the gospel in our hands. And God said, don't bear it, don't set on it, but you invest it. You distribute it. You give it. You use it. You exercise it. If you don't use it, we find out later this guy didn't use it. So what happened to it? It was taken away from him. And listen, God wants us to, God expects a return on his investments. It's God that works in us. It is God that works in us both the will and the do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure, not our own. It's his good pleasure. And so God expects a return. Then number three, lastly, let me give you this quickly. God is not hard to work for. He's not hard to work for. I tell you, he's a just God. He's a fair God. Listen, it's not about the bigness of working for God. It's about the faithfulness. And notice, and we find this out, look at verse 21 and 23. The same thing, almost, word for word, almost, is said in verse 21 and 23. Look at verse 21. He said, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou. The word thou is not there in verse 23. That's why I said almost the same. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a what? Few things. Because you've been faithful over that little class. You've been faithful over that little congregation. You've been faithful over that little task. He said, I'm going to make you rule over many. I tell you, listen, when we reign and rule with Christ during the Lenten reign, listen, friend, that'll be those degrees of our service that we do down here prior to the judgment seat. We serve God and we'll determine our position in the millennial reign of Christ when he sets up his kingdom here on the earth for 1,000 years. Does not the Bible say that we'll rule and reign with him? Listen, there'll be positions given out. He said here, you've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The joy of thy Lord. Listen, we have to earn it, friend. God owes no man anything. God said, you just need to learn to be faithful over a little bit. Faithful over five talents, faithful over two talents, faithful over one. You just be faithful and you go with it, you work with it, whatever you've been given by the Master. You take it, you give it, you distribute it, and you spend and be spent for God. And you leave the results up to the Lord. These guys were not seeking positions. These guys were not seeking promotions. And when the Master came back, he said, listen, fellas, I'm so proud of you. And this is layman terms. I'm so proud of you. I'm so thankful for your good, hard work, fellas. I tell you what, you're just a blessing to me. And because you've blessed my heart so much, I'm going to bless you. I'm not only, bless you a little bit, but you've been so faithful since I've been gone. You've just been so faithful over a few things, just a handful of things. Tell you what, guys, I'm going to make you rule over many. How about not only that, but why don't you come on and enter into the joys of thy Lord? Get on in here with me. And they may have sat down and had a big old T-bone steak. Maybe a porterhouse. I don't know. Maybe a ribeye cooked just right. Baked potato and salad, banana pudding for dessert, pecan pie, whatever you want, friend. And a glass of iced tea and a coffee on the side. I tell you, listen, and then look at verse 23. Here the guy comes back with two. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now has been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over what? Many things. Here he is again. God is not hard to work for. Listen, we just need to learn to be faithful over what God gives us. I mean, listen, Dr. Lee Robertson told my brother many times, he said, some's better than none. He said, just be faithful. He just have faith in God. He just stay faithful at it. You know? I mean, who doesn't want a full class of children to teach the Bible lesson to? Who doesn't want a full class? It's not about numbers. It's not about the bigness. It's about faithfulness. Just be faithful. We're not going to be judged at the judgment seat in 1 Corinthians 3 by the size of my work, but by the sort. Read it. The word sort is there, S-O-R-T. You ought to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and circle the word sort. It doesn't say size. It says sort. And so if I would just strive, just to stay faithful, just keep praying, keep preaching, keep pressing on, keep persevering, just keep going for the glory of God, for the approval of one, and come what may, just stay faithful over a few. No telling what God has waiting on me. And they're waiting on you. We'll just stay faithful. Listen, don't get satisfied with just a handful. I'm never satisfied with just what's here on Wednesday night. I want this place packed out every Wednesday night. You know what? It's going to take some work. It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take the power of God. It's going to take some work on the hand of God and some work on our part as well. We know God to do His part. We just need to do our part. I'm not satisfied, you know. Listen, we need to just keep striving. I'm not interested in being the keeper of the aquarium. Amen. I'm not interested in being a night watchman at the museum. You know, with all these. I'm not interested in just keeping the cobwebs knocked out of the corner. Matter of fact, I don't like cobwebs. Let me just say, time out. If you see a spider web around here, please knock that thing down before I see it. Because I'm going to knock her down. Listen, spider webs is just a sign of deadness to me. You know, spooky. I don't like spooky stuff. You like spooky? I don't like spooky stuff. Knock the spider, kill the spider while you're knocking the web down. Amen. I mean, we're going to get this thing exterminated here one of these days once we get all this stuff behind us. And the first thing I'm going to tell that guy, I'm going to say, you got anything to kill spiders? And ants and snakes. Watch out. I mean, you know, just deal with that stuff. I'm not interested in just maintaining just till Jesus comes. I'm not interested in just occupying till Jesus comes. I'm interested in doing the work for God, aren't you? I'm interested in moving forward, moving up. I'm interested in moving to the next level. That's why we're branching out in these new Sunday school classes. That's why we're trying to divide it, that we may divide and multiply. You know, it's like pruning a tree. You know, you cut it back and maybe take a piece of it and graft that thing in or root that thing and start growing another tree on the other side of the property. You know, listen, we're interested in getting that van filled up with boys and girls. We're interested in filling that whole fellowship hall up with boys and girls, amen or not. I mean, listen, where would they have to meet out here? We'll move over there, friend. Listen, I don't know what the Lord will do. I just know He's a big God. And I just know there's nothing impossible for the Lord. If we just stay faithful. Oh, just stay faithful. Days of scourge? Oh, yeah. Listen, absolutely. Days of heavy burden? Sure. That's just part of it, friend. Part of it, we've got to learn to survive the quitting spots. Aren't you glad you didn't quit? I'm glad I just kept going. All these years, just kept on plowing, just kept on plugging. Times I didn't want to keep going, times I wanted to quit, times I just want to throw in the towel, give up, give in, give over, because I was give out. But thank God there's something down that gave me my soul. But I'm so afraid that I'm going to fail God. I'm so afraid that I'm going to disappoint the Lord in my life. Lord, please help me make it through this storm. God, please get me through this night in the lion's den. God, get me through this fiery furnace, as James preached on. God, please get me through this. Lord, I don't want to quit on you. You didn't quit on me when you went to Calvary. You could have quit, Lord. You didn't even have to walk out of that garden. You could have said, Lord, I'm only going to drink that cup, that bitter cup. Lord, I'm just ready to come on back home. He's not worth it. They're not worth it. She's not worth it. He didn't quit on me. Even the Bible says when he stumbled beneath the load, he got back up. Old Cyrene, Simon of Cyrene there carried the cross, and Jesus made his way up Vela Dolorosa there, the road to Calvary. Beaten, battered, and bruised. I'm sure he saw Brother Jim Hatley. I'm sure he saw Melvin Mullis. He said, I got to keep going for them boys. I got to keep going for Glenda Robinson. I got to keep going for Earlene Packard. I got to keep going for Rhonda Klutz. I just can't quit right now. I'm not going to quit. This is why I came. My hour has come now. And I'm willing to drink that bitter cup for all of humanity. He laid himself down on that cross. He didn't have to do that, but he wanted to. And listen, friend, I don't want to quit on God. He's been so good to me. Listen, we're to do all that we can. I like what Brother Robert Smith said there in that newsletter. He said, listen, I just want to finish faithful. I want to finish faithful, don't you? These guys finished faithful. They didn't know when their master was coming back. They said, man, we got to get busy with what he's left us with. He didn't leave us with stuff just to sit on it, sit soaking sour, you know, and occupy till he comes. He didn't want us to do that. We see that one boy did that, man. He railed on him. He's upset with him. I tell you what, he even told me to have his talent. I got 11. He didn't want it. I got it. And now he just said, you better take him out of here and cast him in the outer darkness. I tell you what, I'm glad I was serving the Lord when he came. Listen, we'll say, I'm glad I was serving Jesus when he came. Listen, Jesus is not hard to work for. Let me just close with this thought here. Jesus doesn't need us to be fearful. He just wants us to be faithful. Why does he want us to be faithful? That we might be fruitful. Fruitful for what? For his glory. For his glory. God, get glory out of me. Get glory out of this work here. Get glory out of this church. Get glory out of the ministries. God, get glory out of the people. God, get glory out of our life. It's been said a warm heart surrendered to Jesus brings more glory to God than a strong head that thinks big but performs little. And I'll add this, that talks big but performs little. A surrendered heart. Let's all keep a surrendered heart, a tender heart, an open heart. And let's be like these servants here, these two men, when God, no doubt, has graced us with so much, been so good to us. I mean, if all I had, he took away, then I still would have to say, God has been so good to me. I know where he found me. And I know how far he had to reach down when I couldn't reach up. No one else loved me, he did. When no one else had anything to do with me, he did. When no one else would stop by, he did. When no one else was there to help, he did. When there was no hope, Christ Jesus, who is our hope, he became my hope. When no one else understood, he does. He did, and I thank the Lord for that. He's just a great God. A wonderful God, a wonderful friend. Well, I'm glad I come to prayer meeting, aren't you? Well, thank God. I need these Wednesday night prayer meetings. If you don't need it, I need it. But I'm glad you get to come in and let Jesus see Jesus' love all on me. He just loves on me on Wednesday nights. He said, son, I'm going to get you there, and you just be ready. I'm going to get you there, and he'll get me here. And I'll come in, just no doubt sometimes, just like you, just wore out, just frazzled, you know. Just fighting battles and fighting public and people and traffic. Oh, my, traffic. The Lord helped me yesterday, you know, not to beat a man up in traffic. He was staring me down in his side mirror there, and I just backed off a little bit. I put my hand over my mouth like this and just prayed for him. Pray that it won't hurt him. I let him go on, Brother Rick. Just let him go on. Just give him to God. I let him go on. But you know what? I need to come on Wednesday nights, and you do too. How many of you worked hard today? Raise your hand. Worked hard today? Good. How many are glad you came tonight, even though you was tired? How many say, I'm looking forward to next Wednesday night? I'm already looking forward to next Wednesday night. I tell you, listen, this is just some sweet times. And you know, this is when the Lord just loves on us. And take this thought here tonight. Don't be afraid of the Lord. He's not a hard taskmaster. He wants to use us. He wants to bless our life. And let's just be available and be present, be presentable. And let's just say, Lord, here am I. Keep a tender heart. Let's pray together.